Good morning.
Ooh, that's hot this morning. Well, turn this one off.
You want to be extra loud?
No, you don't want me to be extra loud. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Colossians. We're going to look at a couple more verses down through there, 9 through 14. Before we get to that, and while you're doing that, while you're looking that up, I'm going to read to you one verse from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? Keep that in mind as we go through today's verses, starting at verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I want to stop there for a second. Think back of what we're told to do in Romans, where he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. We transform our minds how? By reading, taking in the Word, by prayer, right? Those things are important. Let me back up a little bit. Filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered you, or delivered us, from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Since the day that he had heard about their faith, their love for all the saints, and their love in the Spirit, Paul has not ceased to pray. He's praying for the church, right? He's praying for that specific church in Colossae, asking that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will and Spirit, and filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him and bearing fruit in every good work, while increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power for endurance and patience with joy. Right? Joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. We need to understand that, and that's an acronym for joy, and we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a few minutes. But Jesus is first. Others are second, and yourself is last. Joy. Right? That's an easy way to pray. It's also a good way to live. Do we need to live that out? And I will admit to you, when I was looking at joy and realizing what I had been doing over the last few months, that I tend to preach a lot about where we fall short in our walk. That as Christians and as God's creation, we need to live for Him and not for ourselves. Notice there's no but there. So you see, I believe in general that people need to be prodded, provoked, and stirred to action. That we, and I include myself in this, often procrastinate. And in doing so, we drift, or we tend to go with the flow and find ourselves not where we think we are, nor where we want to be. I had to set aside a specific time to build my relationship with the Lord. That specific time for me was very early in the morning because I had kids and they were asleep, and it was quiet and peaceful. And that was my time in the morning, and I still do that because it's still a quiet time of the day.
whenever your quiet time may be different for you. You may be an evening person. I don't function well after 9 o'clock. There's nothing going to be retained that I'm trying to look at or read if I try to do it after that. But we need to set that aside, a time aside specifically to develop our relationship with God, to gain knowledge. We need to make it a habit and have an intentional time for prayer and Bible study. I still fall short on the prayer side of it, or at least I feel that way. We need to examine ourselves and check for erosion to see if we've drifted away from where we started or where we're supposed to be. The Colossians had heard and understood the grace of God in truth. That's what verse 6 tells us. They had comprehended the gospel, understood it, depending on your translation, the good news, the very truth that was preached to them. I often wonder how many today have a firm grasp of the grace of God that they did, the gospel of grace. How many of us truly understand what is available to us, what is ours in Christ? Do we really grasp? Do you really grasp what you have now in Christ and what is available to you right now as a believer? Right this very minute. Not sometime in a distant future, but right now. Do we get that? Grace. Grace. Grace in the world. How did Jesus send it? He's going to send the Spirit to convict the world of sin. That is grace. That conviction that God brings on you and I and everybody else is grace. God's undeserved favor, because otherwise we would head on the way we've always gone. But grace for the believer, I believe, is a little bit different. I believe that's that divine, unmerited assistance that God gives us to accomplish His will, the good works that we were created to do here in this world. The reason you're here, right? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. You are the very work of God. You. Doesn't matter who you is out there. There's a good English. Don't know. Thank you. You need to grasp that. You were created for a reason and a purpose. You have a reason for existing. As a Christian, you are given new life because the old life was not right. At least my old life was not. And I'm given a new life to live in this world for Him, right? But we're to bear fruit in our good works. That's what it says, right? Bear good fruit. But how do we do that? It's easy to read it and see it and hear it. But how do we bear fruit? How do we gain what we need? You've all heard the verse from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare, and it goes on, and to give you a future and a hope. If you are living in your own plan or trying to live out your plan, how can you be in His? And how can you know what it is? I have an illustration, okay? But we're going to get to that in a minute. But I want you to think about it. We are to seek the knowledge and the spiritual wisdom and the understanding that Paul prayed for here. He didn't pray it just for them. He prayed it for all of us. And we need to understand that. Now, if you are praying for knowledge, if you are praying for wisdom and understanding, praying for direction, maybe you're praying for to know God's will, that you would walk in a manner worthy of Him, of the Lord, I'm going to show you what you should need to do. I ask two ladies to help me, so I'm going to ask them to come up. I need one on this side and one on this side. And where you go is going to depend on where you're going. I'm going to ask you to pray silently, quietly. That means without talking, Jan. sorry, it had to be said.
Can we lay on hands?
just right. I need you to step back a little bit and step up one step, and then I want you to pray. Let's say that we're going to build out that way, and we need a hole dug. So I want you to pray for that hole, okay? And you pray for these things that we talked about, for wisdom, for knowledge. That's what you're going to be praying for. Pray for those things, for knowledge and for understanding. Okay, go ahead, pray. Thank you for praying. Hold on to that. Thank you for praying. Hold on to this. Maybe I was wrong to bring these two up and arm them as I have. We can pray for whatever we need done. And God will give us what we need to get the job done. Now, we could take that. Thank you. You can be seated. We could take that and just lay it someplace where it's out of the way and not going to be tripped over and not going to be used for a while. And we can ask for knowledge and understanding. Thank you. Thank you. And we can take this and lay it back on the shelf it came from. Are we using what God has given us? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. 1 Peter 1:3. Everything we need to do what we're called to do and be what we're called to be. Are we using it and are we doing it? Jesus, others, and yourself, right? I'm going to get back to where we're at, so understand it. But as I was reading down through this, and we had been to the conference last Saturday, and they had mentioned that acronym, and it's just been eating at me. When I read this word, it was just like, you need to talk about this. Joy. And I'm going to, this is all connected, trust me. You see, as I've read through the scriptures and as I study, I was stirred to pray by seeing how often those in scripture prayed. If you read through the letters of Paul prayed for each group of people he addressed, okay? And the way they, and I'm going to say because Peter and some of the other ones have done it too, they usually prayed thanking God right off the bat, Jesus, right? And then they prayed for the church, that would be others. And he didn't always pray for himself, but he always asked for prayer. So then yourself is last. And he seemed to live that out as well. Joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. Now, keep that in mind. Jesus has called you for a reason. Each of you brings something unique and special to the whole that is our congregation. And each of you is gifted for the common good of His church as a whole, not just this congregation of His church. I hesitate to say call us a church because we're the church. This is just a building. But we make up a small part of God's church, whether it has assemblies on it or Baptist or Presbyterian or whatever. We're all brothers and sisters and we make up His church. As believers, each of us is given access to the knowledge of God through both the Word and the Spirit. This is the Spirit-inspired word, right? He's going to help you to understand as you read it. You're going to get understanding through sermons, through other readings, through classes. You're going to gain that as God gives it to you. And then we have the privilege of going to the very throne of grace. As Christians, as His children, we are favored with that privilege to run to Dad anytime we need to. That's the best way to put it. I can run to Dad and say, listen, this is what's been going on, and I need help. And if it's in His will, He'll help me. Or He'll give me a shovel to dig a hole. Or He'll give me His word so that I can gain knowledge. Transform my mind so I'll know His will. The question is, are you going to believe it, that He supplies all your needs, and are you going to act on it? You have access to knowledge through His word. You have access to grace through prayer. And you have access to the Holy Spirit, which He's given us to help us. And you have access to the church, to the body of Christ, to other believers who can help you in your walk. It is only by believing that you can discern God's will for your life. An unbeliever is going to have a very hard time trying to figure out who God is, and that He has once a relationship with them and just go on from there, because they're outside of that. If you can discern and know, knowing God's will and doing it, two different things, right? Knowing God's will and doing it are two different things. In other words, having the knowledge of God's will and not believing it shows in the lack of action that takes place. Right? That, at the worst, is unbelief. Or it could be a weak faith or weak belief or a sign of a person drifting slowly away. Which is what I believe Paul heard was taking place in Colossae, that they had drifted, erosion was taking place, and they needed to be brought back to the basics, the sure and firm foundation that is Jesus Christ. So, out of love, he, Paul, prayed, but he didn't stop there. He didn't stop at prayer. He took action. He provoked. He encouraged. He reminded them of reminded everyone of who Jesus, God, is. All that He had done and was doing for them even then. It's a reminder for them and for us. God wants us to succeed. He has plans for us, a future and a hope. Right? I think we all need to be strengthened in our knowledge. We all need to be strengthened. And this happens as we gain the knowledge of God, as we are filled, as verse 9 says. Okay? 10 and 11 say this. So as to walk, so we can be filled, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Here's a play on words for you. Each of us is to move up and move out. We are to move up. And we do move up as we mature, as we reach up to God, as we seek Him, we gain knowledge. We do it through the Word, right? We search for God in the Word. We're searching and building a better relationship. Then we put into action the knowledge we have received and build our understanding of God's will for us. That's the way it's done. How can you gain understanding apart from putting knowledge into action, the knowledge you have gained. How can you gain understanding? Jesus said in John 7:17, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know, understand, the Holman Christian Standard puts it, he will know, he will understand whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. If we want to understand something, we have to put it into action. If we don't put it into action, we will never gain understanding. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? Raise your hands. If you found out as you were going onto the loading gate that the person who was flying that aircraft, the one person that was up front, let's just call it one pilot, that was up front, had read every book on flying, but had never flown an airplane. Would you get on that plane? Praise the Lord, I'm not getting on that plane. What about if you were going to the doctor for surgery, the hospital for surgery, and the doctor had read all about going into your heart and changing that valve? But it was his first time ever being in the operating room. Are you going? Nope. No offense to anybody that's here right now. I had a young lady that was here driving, learning to drive this morning. What if she had never driven but had taken the test about what the laws were and what she was supposed to do but had never driven, but she's going to get on 94 with you today and you're going to go to Battle Creek. I'm going to stay behind her. Like I said, it takes putting that into action to gain understanding. And then we sit back and go, I don't understand. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? We are called to be doers of the word, James tells us, and not hearers only. Because in doing, we gain that understanding. As a believer, a Christian, because of Christ, you are qualified to share in an inheritance of the saints in light. Right? That's what we're told. That's the truth. You were delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Delivered. I love that word. We were delivered. Somebody brought us from point A to point B, right? That's what it means. And it was him, it was Jesus Christ that did that. You were one way and now you're different, right? And what was in between? Jesus. I'm quoting from The Chosen. But Jesus was in between. Jesus. Jesus first, then others, then yourself. You, fully understood by God, can be forgiven by he who is the creator, by he who reigns supreme, by him whom you have rebelled and sinned against. And the question for me was, why? Why? Because he loves you. Plain and simple. He cares deeply for you. He wants you to be his, a part of his family in Christ, the church. You were bought at a price. I love that we always say those words. When I buy something, it's mine. Unless my wife gets a hold of it. There's things that she isn't going to mess with in the garage. I don't have to worry about that. But when we buy something, it's ours, right? You were bought at a price. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're his. You're sanctified unto the Lord. I say those words all the time, but I want us to really grasp, to understand, to know what we have in Christ. We are redeemed, reconciled, sanctified, made holy in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, because of the cross. The same God who did all those miraculous things in the Old Testament for his people is the same God that we worship today. The Word was with, the Word is Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. When Philip, not our Philip, the other one. When Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father in John 14:8, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long that you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" He was flabbergasted that they did not get that they had been with God all that time. That they had seen Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, fully God, fully human, and they didn't get it until afterwards. Well, some of them got it a little bit along the way, but I don't think they understood it fully. The same God who split the sea for Moses, who gave Mary favor, who blessed a shepherd boy with courage to face a giant, who heard the cries of his people in exile and brought them back, who healed the sick and caused the lame to walk, is the God of our redemption, of our salvation. It is he who bore our sin, and it has come and made you his by delivering you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is something to praise God for. The same God that did all that is written in this book is the God who died for you, who loves you, who wants what's best for you, and who is with you each and every day. It is the same God who is looking for you. He is looking out for you. He is able to heal and deliver still today. Who will accept you right where you are, but who loves you enough not to leave you there. Jesus. Jesus. And he wants you and I as his holy people, kingdom people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people of the word, people of purpose, saints of the living God. That's who we are. Should we not worship him in gratitude and wonder? Should we not be seeking him through his word and prayer every chance we get? Isn't it time to turn off that box, that screen, for 10, 15 minutes and read the Word? Seek Him in His Word. And should we not be doing that and praying? Should we not be practicing joy, Jesus, others, yourself? I always want to refer you back to the Transfiguration. And I want you to listen to this. I know I said this before, or at least I think I did. Mount Transfiguration, Elijah's there, Moses there. Moses is the law, Elijah's the prophets, right? Peter's going to, hey, let's stay up here in the mountain. I'll build tabernacles, shelters. I know I told you this last week. And so he's going to do that. And right in the middle of saying that, there's a voice and says, "Listen to my son." And when they looked up, there was Jesus only. Jesus only. Listen to him. He is the prophets. He is the law made flesh. He is God. He is our Savior and our King. And he wants what's best for you. Are you willing to walk in his plan? And that's where I'm going to leave us. Would you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we are grateful that you have made a way, that you have blessed us in our coming in and our going out, our turning left and our turning right, that you are always there, ever present, Almighty God, that you are Jesus Christ, our Savior. We praise you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing and what you've done. Continue, Lord, to lead us. Continue, Lord, to provoke us. Continue, Lord, to push us to be the church you've called us to be the individuals you've called us to be, to have joy and practice joy in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to close us in prayer for those at home. I'd like you all to just stay where you're at for just a few minutes after we are done with that. And I want to say to my grandchildren, good morning, Letty. Good morning, Ellie. Good morning, Chuck. Hope you're all having a great day. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day. The blessings of your word, your love, your mercy, and prayer, Lord, are so important. And we thank you for you and praise you. Help us, Lord, stir our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.